take my report.
Some of my Talmidim accompanied me. Poiskin b'chvoy rachsanyo. You have a very special zechus in the Rebbe of Zohar to have. But Baruch Simon is not only an outstanding Talmid Chacham, but he's an unbelievable Baal Chesed. He does things of all types and all stripes without publicity, because he practices what the Pasuk says, Oilam Chesed Yibonah. But it's interesting, although Ha'oilam Nibra B'Chesed, and that's why Bereshit begins with a Beis. It's two, not an Aleph. The Aseres HaDibros begin with an Aleph, because only he makes the rules and regulations. But the Oilam was built on Chesed. But Oilam Chesed Yiboneh, we have to continue doing it. And interesting is, by the way, as many point out, according to the Rambam, the biggest mitzvah of all, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, is also Chesed. Because the primary mokoy of Talmud Torah is not lemanatem, but b'shinantom, or the limanatem, as the Rambam puts it both in the Sefer Amado, Hilchos Talmud Torah, and the Sefer HaMitzvos. Sharing. I really didn't want to be here today at all, because today is not only a special day for Klal Yisrael, the first day of Hanukkah, it's a special day for me. It's the 41st Yahrzeit for Avi Mori Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And the only thing I will do is, when I finish giving you some short Divrei Torah on Hanukkah, I'll tell you two things about my unforgettable father, compared to whom I'm nothing but even a midget now. And I do want to have this chus, if someone has a siddur here, that I can say Kaddish to Rabbanon then, so the Shama should have an aliyah. Hanukkah is very strange. If Hanukkah is so important, why is it that Maise Hanukkah lo nital li kosev? We have nothing b'chsav. Yes, we have a Megillas Antiochus, but it's not part of the Kisvei HaKodesh. Why was it not written? When the Gemara in Shabbos says, what's Hanukkah all about? By Hanukkah, the military victory is hardly mentioned. Center stage is the miracle of the oil. So then why is it when we say Al Hanisim, we don't even mention the miracle of the oil? There's nothing about the Nes. What we have is Rabbim b'yad ma'atim, Giborim b'yad chaloshim, military victory. Seems to be a real stealer. What's going on? Hanukkah is special in other ways. Yeah, today, every time we have kosher, we see Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin. But if you know the original Makayvus, Hidur Mitzvah, yeah, you shouldn't spend more than Shlish. That's the tops. If I can get a good Esrog for $30, I shouldn't spend more than 40, depending on how you count the third. And look what happened with Hanukkah. We go all out. Almost like it's a mania chas, but you call it a chas. The original halacha was Ishu Vesoy. So how many candles are lit in the family? 8 candles, the whole Hanukkah. One each night for everybody. And then it was Mahadrin, and then the Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, just added up. It's way more than a shlish. So if there are 5 people in the household, right, except for the wife, everybody lights it, Moisib Moholchim, it's way more. What's going on? Mahadrim, in a Mahadrim. And usually, even on Shabbos Kodesh. Yeah, we should have Bosa B'Dogim, but if someone is very poor and he knows he can't pay back, so he should have a little bit of sardine. That's it. Hanukkah, we say, even an Oni, he's so poor that he needs the soup kitchen, the tamfui. But no, Shoyu L'Meichach Susay. Literally, sell the shirt off his back in order to be muddling Neos Hanukkah. What's going on? Yeah, we find that with the Dalet Kosos, but that's at least, even if it's the Rabbanon, but it has a root in the Araisa, Chanukah's told them in the Rabbanon. The Fiyani is Daiti. We can answer all these questions if we go in the footsteps of the Rambam. Let me tell you something about the Rambam. In Parshas Vayishlach, when it says that Yaakov Avinu Vayivosa Yaakov Levadoi, he remained alone, Chazal say, Atikro Levadoi Ela Lekadoi. It's a Rebbe Eskepach Shemen. What has it got to do, the fact that he had remained behind for something and connected with the Pach Shemen of Chanukah? What happened that night? That night when this happened, that he remained alone. Vayeovek ish imoy, he was locked in a struggle. And at the end of that struggle, as you all know, he got the name Yisrael. The Rambam says, there was never such a fight. Nothing took place. It never happened. What was it? He had a dream. The Ramban almost gets apoplectic. How could the Rambam say it never happened? He had a dream. We have a halacha based on it. The Gidon Osher. Ar hayoyim hazeh. The Gidon Osher can't be eaten, so it must have happened. So how could it be? It says the pasuk Tzaleh Yerechai. People give terutzim. How could it be? It could be psychosomatic if you have a dream and it looks like very real, so you end up limping. But still, what's going on? Lefi anius daiti. The Rambam, Mimoshe ad Moshe lecham kamoshe, was a profound thinker. He said, Yaakov Avinu had a prophetic dream. It was b'mare hanavua. What did he foresee? You know who wrestled with him that night? It was not Stam, a person, or Stam a Malach. It was the Malach Shel Esav. And what Yaakov Avinu foresaw, and he warned all his descendants of Bnei Yisrael on that. When you meet up with Esav, I'm not worried. You know it's Esav, and you'll fight him with all you've got right away. Absolutely. Afil al Agasad Masa'ano, you know you're going to have to fight him. I'm worried about one thing. If Esav appears in the garb of a Malach, he has an angelic appearance, and he tries to mislead you into, you know, don't be, you can combine me with other cultures, with other values, be more open-minded, etc. Embrace everything. Ultimately, you're going to wake up, it's really Esav, he's tricking you. He wants to rob you of your identity. And then even if you win, it's not a clear-cut victory. You'll remain limping. It'll be Tzalei al Yerechai. When did this actually happen? I want to make it short. It happened in the days of Hanukkah. The Greeks didn't reveal themselves as Esav right away. Oh no. They were very friendly and welcoming and open-minded. And they said, look, don't be such a fanatic. Don't be such a chinyok. Embrace Greek culture, truth and beauty. And you know, don't view everything under the prism of one kind of value. By the way, that's why the Alanisi means Malchus Yomano Roshor. It says, how did it start? Lashkichom Terasecho. Don't always remember Torah. Sometimes forget. Other values, other cultures can take center stage too. The aim ultimately was Lahaviro Mechuche Ratzonecho. So ultimately, when the Jews recognized the danger, did they ultimately win? Yes. But did they remain Tzalei Yerechai? You bet. How long did the Malchus of Chashmonaim last? Not very long. Then we had the problem of Sedukim. The Kohen Gadol, they had to give a shvur before he went to the Kodesh Kodashim that you'll do everything up here halacha. You think that's a great victory? If we have to beg the Kohen Gadol to take a special shvur, big, big problem. That's when Esav appears like a malach. And by the way, that's why Shammai Shofar Hirsch insisted on not calling his philosophy like we do Torah of Mada, Torah of Derech Eretz. He called it Torah im Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz has to be always subservient to Torah. That's the only way you can preserve the purity of Torah. It's not Torah of Mada. Mada has to be subjected totally to the authority and the single value of Torah. That's why the Rav Zatzal, my Rebbe Muvok, never mentioned in all the years I learned with him Torah Mada. The way he put it in English, in his fancy English, we believe in cultural pluralism, but axiological means values. Monism. There is only one supreme value, and that's Torah. And that's what Hanukkah is all about. Now I'll share with you something about my father, the Chassad Livracha. And I'm going to tell you two things that I only found out after his death, when I was sitting Shiva. You know, I'm a Holocaust survivor. When I started saying Shiurim here in January 1956, there were only four American-born Rebbeim. All the rest of us were Europeans. Now, there are only two of us left alive, Rav Yankelevich, Shulita, and myself. And my father ended up in Buchenwald. He never regained his health. When he was for 24 and a half years, he was sick, but he never once complained. And to show you what a special Menashe Mayim even, you know, the first night of Hanukkah, that was at that time, 1969, Tov Shin Lamed, I had to help him hold his hand that he could light the menorah. Friday morning was a Shabbos, that first day of Hanukkah, Tov Shin Lamed. I used to have to put on tefillin for him. He couldn't do it himself. He said, Meir, I'm too weak. I can't even have you put on tefillin. I want to say Krishma, that I shouldn't miss Krishma Bizmanay. And let me tell you, he said the first parsha of Krishma, and then he said, Uvisharecha, Yad Yitzias Neshama. That he literally passed away and went to the Olam HaEmes with Shema on his lips. And when we sat Shiva, two things which I'll both share with you. On the third day of my Shiva, an old man in his 90s, I never saw him before, hunched, very skinny, came in, sat down in front of me, said, you're a fool, aren't you? I said, yes. I came here to tell you what a special father you had. And I said, please don't tell me about my father. I can tell you more about him than you can ever tell me. He says, Rafulda, please listen. There's something I'm going to tell you that you couldn't know. I kept quiet, and here's a story he told me. When my father, Zatzal, came back from an unsuccessful trip to Stuttgart, the American embassy, to get visas to come to America, which we didn't get at that time. He stopped off in Frankfurt in the last open Jewish hotel. And in the morning when he wanted to leave the room to go to Minyan, another miracle in Hashemayim. My mother called him, before you leave the room, give me your passports. He said, why? I want the passports. He remembered seeing her take the passports and hide them under the mattress. Had my mother not done that, had he not listened to her, Shema Bekoilo, I wouldn't be standing in front of you, because if you had no passports, you could never get out. And as he was about to go to Minyan, along with thousands of other Jews in Nazi Germany, he was arrested and shipped to a big waiting area where thousands of Jews were waiting to be transported to the concentration camp of Buchenwald. where he ended up. When he got out, I didn't even recognize him. He was beyond recognition, etc. I don't want to talk about that now. This man told me, your father didn't know me, I didn't know him. We were staying next to each other, waiting for the cattle cars to come so that they could transport us to the concentration camp. When the cattle cars arrived, the SS had these whips with metal in it too, and whipping the Yidden brutally. And I began to cry. And your father turned to me and he said, why are you crying? They didn't hit you yet. He said, look at me, I'm nothing but skin and bones. One crack of the whip and I'll be finished with my life. Your father turned to me and said, you have no reason to cry. Now I know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me a little bit taller than you. When the SS comes to our corner, I'll bend over you and I'll make sure the whip goes on my back and that they won't touch you. The kachata, he said, when the SS came, he pushed me under me. He bent over me. The whip cracked on him. Didn't touch me at all. He was moaning and groaning a little bit. And when we were in the cattle cars, I turned to him and I said, thank you for saving my life. And your father looked at me angrily. He said, don't you dare thank me. I did what any Yid would have done for any other Yid. He said, can I at least know the name of the person who saved my life? And your father said, no. Just know that one Yid did what any Yid would and should have done. But I insisted. And then your father said, all right, I'll tell you my name under two conditions. Number one, you'll never thank me again. And number two, you will never ever tell the story of what happened today. So I promised. And for all the years, I kept the promise. When I found out yesterday that your father was Nifter, I asked my Rav, he told me who it was. Am I still bound by that promise that I made to him? And the Rav said, now that he's the Olam Emes, you're not bound, but you have a new Chiyuv. You have to go to the Avelim and tell them the story, that they can share the story with others and learn what a real Yid is supposed to be like. You do a mitzvah without wanting a yashkaya. That's one story. Second story I found out, the fifth day of the Shiva. A tall man in his late 80s came in, sat in front of my mother. Said to my mother, this is Fulda. Did your husband ever tell you how much he paid for the Sefer Torah that he brought home? My mother said, no. All he ever told us is, it's the most precious thing we will ever own. We have to guard it with our life. He says, I thought that he would be that kind of person. Please, do me a favor. Call your sons over with your daughters here. I want to tell them the real story of that Sefer Torah he brought home. Here's the story he told me. His name was a Mr. Zeifeld. My father, Zatzal, knew that the last mitzvah in the Torah is V'atol kisvulochem es ashira hazais. Ideally, every Yid should write a Sefer Torah. It costs a lot of money to commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah. He didn't have that kind of money. So the next thing is you try to buy a Sefer Torah at least. It's too much money too. One day in the Jewish Weekly, he saw an ad that the Rav in a different city had passed away from a sudden fatal heart attack in his 40s. And the almona, the widow, got a heta from the dayan in a neighboring city that she could sell the Rav's sforim and the Sefer Torah. And my father, Zatzal, said to my mother, let me travel to that city. Maybe that Sefer Torah I can afford. The widow might give me a break in the price. So he traveled there And all we ever knew is he came back with the Sefer Torah. And when my mother asked him, how much did you pay for it? He said, the price is not important, but remember, it's the most precious thing we will ever own. We have to guard it with our life. And by the way, we did. In Kristallnacht, I remember as a kid that my siblings and I, we were alone together. We went to the attic and hid the Sefer Torah under a whole bunch of garbage newspapers that the Nazis, Yimach Shemom, Nisachom, shouldn't find it and burn it together with us. Anyway, let me tell you. Man realized that my mother didn't know the real story. When we were moved over to him, and here's the story he told us. The rabbi who passed away in the other city in his late 40s, I think was 47 years old. It seems he left an almona with 7 children in absolute poverty. There was no life insurance. My father came to that city. In the late afternoon, he went to the shul in that city. This man was the shamus in that shul. He davened mincha maariv there. And I saw the man with the big beard. My father had a big beard till they shaved it off in Buchenwald. He said, where are you from? He said, my name is Fulda, whatever. And he said, look, what are you here for? He said, some business. He didn't tell him what for. He said, by the way, let me ask you a question. What is the economic situation of the Rebbetzin who lost her husband, the Rav? We told him, terrible. It's horrible. Beyond imagination. Really? Yeah. No insurance, nothing. That's all. Finished. Then the married. I never saw him again. The following Shabbos was the first Shabbos since the Ptira of the Rav that the Rebbetzin came in with her eyes not full of tears. She wasn't crying anymore. And I, like a shaiter, said to her, Rebbetzin is so good that finally time is beginning to heal your wound. And she answered me, it's not time. I had Gilui Eliyahu. And he thought she lost her mind. Gilui Eliyahu? I don't mean Gilui Eliyahu mamish. That's a simile. It's a nace. What's the nace? And she told me the following. In that ad that I put in the Jewish Weekly to sell the Sefer Torah and the Sforim, some people came to look at some of the Sforim. Nobody came and wanted to even consider buying the Sefer Torah, except one Yid with a big beard. And when I told him the price that I want, he said, Rebbetzin, that's too steep. I don't think I can afford that. And he left. And after he left, I could have kicked myself. I had no other potential customer. Why didn't I negotiate? It's too late. Later on that evening, my doorbell rings again. And there's the same Yid with the big beard. I decided, oh, I'm going to give it to him for much less and try to sell the Sefer Torah. And as I said, you know, we can negotiate. He answered me, Rebbetzin, I came here to tell you something important. Here's the story my father made up. I happened to meet someone who knows the identity of the Sefer who wrote your late husband's Sefer Torah. It's a precious antique, worth much more than you asked me. I tried to be an honest Yid. I'm not a gunner. I really want to buy the Sefer Torah of your late husband, but only on one condition. If you let me pay much, much more than you asked me for it, because I will not steal your Sefer Torah. You'll take more money than you asked, I'll give you the check. Otherwise, no sale. So of course I agree. And he gave me a check far exceeding what I asked. The shamus said, I thought quickly. This was late afternoon, and this was in the evening. Probably that was the Yid who asked me about the matzav of the Rebbetzin and the kids when I told him. So I said, Rebbetzin, was that man's name by any chance Fulda? Yeah! How did you know? I didn't say anything. But I figured, if that's what he did, he probably didn't tell you. And I see he didn't. That's the kind of Yid that my father, the Tzaddik V'Kodesh Livracha, was. I'll tell you one more thing about him. His Chavrusa, for 30 years, was a Rav who also went to Buchenwald and survived. He became the co-founder of Yeshivat Kol Torah in Yerushalayim, Rav Baruch Kunstadt, the Tzaddik V'Kodesh. And when the Beis Din offered to call my father Hechaver, which is the title for Talmid Chacham, he refused and he said, I will not accept it till I finish Shas the first time. That's the man for whom I have Yahrzeit today. I would like to dedicate one mission if I can have the sitter. Is there a sitter here, by any chance? Anyone have a sitter?
Magen Israel.
Yes, sir.
You're going to
get
him.
No
sitter?
Again. No, he's going to get a sitter.
This is no.
Yes, good job. Let me read to you. This is a strange sitter. I'm not used to interlinear sitters. I can't even find anything.
Here's an anonymous.
The regular sitter? No. Where's Pirkei Avos? They don't have Pirkei Avos?
I think that's the weekday one.
Yeah.
Might not have it.
Oh, Pirkei Avos, okay. It says in the second Mishnah, the first parak, Shimna Tzadik Hoye Mishiyori Knesset HaGdoilo, Hu Hoye Oymer, Ashrei Shadvarim Ha'olam Oymeim, Ala Teiro Val Ravoido Val Gemilus Chasodim. Everybody knows this Mishnah. Yet in the last Mishnah of the first parak, it says, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ashrei Shadvarim Ha'olam Kayom, Ala Din Val Ha'emes Val Ha'sholem. Why should it be that in one parak, and then we have MS, Din, Shol? Okay. So everybody points out, the second Mishnah says Omeid. The last Mishnah says Kayom. There's one thing when HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world. There's another thing how we are to make that world continue to survive based on our zechus. And what's very important, especially for all of us at Yeshiva University, is really, Torah is defined as being emes. Torah Judaism is not anything that's Jewish. It has to be emes lamitoy. Avodah has to be lefi hadin, with no aberrations tolerated. And gemilas chasodim has to be something that fosters shalom, remembering that shalom is the biggest kli machzik bracha. We who are exposed to the world at large and we try to incorporate it like a sulam, but we have to remember the top of the ladder is pure Torah. And that's really what Yeshiva University should be all about. Pure Torah and everything else that we learn and that we study has to be subservient to that overriding goal. Rabbi Hananya ben Akashya oimei rotza kodesh baruch hu luzakos is Yisroel. Lefich ochir bo lohem Torah mitzvah shenema adroi chofeitz leman tzidko yagdil Torah yagdil. Aisyah Makimais. I'm trying to get Kaddish Rabbanon. Where is it? Yiskadel v'yiskadei Shemei Rabbo.
Amen.
V'yomod v'vokhi v'usei v'yamdich matusei. Balkon Monday, Oskibir Rice, and the rest of the world, Sava Sav. Yehel, Hein, Lachin, Shlomo Rabachin, and the Hid, Rachmin, Hein, Rechin. Zaini Rabbi, Revikon, Mikorov, Rishmai, Varov, in Wamein. Yehel, Shlomo Rabbah, Mishmai, Rechin, Tobin, and Go Israel, in Wamein. Amen. Shalom, in Wamov, Yasa, Shalom, in Wamov, Israel, in Wamein. Afelech and Hanukkah.
Thank you so much. Would you like something to
eat? No, no, no.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, no, I'm
good. Yeah, thank you, thank you. Can we also sit, please? We'll sing another nigga and then we'll... Avram. Who's Avram Levin? Lulei Sarosko. No, not necessarily. I mean, he was just saying it for his York side. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to sleep though. Yeah. Yeah, what are you doing? Short packet. I'm going to give it out soon. Sit.
Have your attention. I was in such a rush to make it short. The gentleman here asked me two things. Number one, so why does the Gemara not mention the victory as such, only in passing? And in Ananisim, we do mention it. The terrace is the following. The Pachshemen lefi Anius Daiti was the Nes Nigla, the open miracle, that proved that the military victory was really a Nes Nistor. Because we waited too long. The moment we realized what the Greeks' aim really was, we should have started fighting right then and there. And that's why the victory was only Tzeler Yerechai, because we waited too long. The second question that was asked was what? Yeah, what's the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim? Okay, so, and that also explains, by the way, why Shoyal Omechek Susa. I didn't have a chance to be Masber everything. See, normally when we say Pikuach Nefesh Doches HaKol, we mean Pikuach HaGuf, saving one's life. When it's Pikuach HaGuf, then it's only for three Averas, you know, Filaroyesh, Fichosdom, Avodazor, and so on. But when the danger is not Pikuach HaGuf, but the danger is the Neshama, they want to let us live, yeah. But they want to rob us of our neshama mitameyit, then you need mahadrin min hamahadrin. You have to go all out in order to, because it's spiritual survival, and that's the halacha of Argus of the Masa'ano, the Shasa.
Yeah.
Also, they were fighting like the Yemenis, so they bring
back to...
That they were also, like you said, oh, they're nice, they were good, they were good.
First, I'd like to thank everyone for coming to the Mesiba. I'd like to thank Benji Leibowitz and David Schlossenberg, the sheer assistants, for helping out, orchestrate everything. It was a big schuss that we had Rav Fulda here, as I told you, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to hear someone with such perspective, bringing back some Torah and the plight of the Jewish people from a generation that that we are living at the very end of people from that generation who could say that they were witnessed Kristallnacht, and they could inspire us from such a part of Jewish history that is such an inspiration for us. So that's a tremendous chus. I'd like to welcome my wife and my daughter who are here today. And we always have the privilege of having Mrs. Chaya Gordin here. She's always a mainstay of the Mesiba. She was, for those that are new here, she was a librarian in the Gottesman Library for 40 years.
Fighting independence.
Other things as well. But she was in. She helped me with all the Sfarim, all the years. And if you have a look in the in every sefer in the library, every sefer in the library has in the sefer the English in English letters, the title and handwritten. So usually those are our handwritten words. And I'd like to thank Rabbi Goldstein who's here as well, and all the everyone who participated. It's a tremendous chus to have this annual Mesiba on Hanukkah. I made a short packet. Later we'll have our regular Parsha packet. I figured Hanukkah, eight-page packets for Hanukkah. Then there was a two-page supplement, but an eight-page packet for Hanukkah, just a short idea. The Pasuk says in Parshas Va'eschanan on page 1, Shamor tishmur nas mitzvos Hashem Elokeichem ve'idosa v'chukav asher tzivach. Shamor tishmur, which usually we translate in English to observe the mitzvahs, like a Shomer Shabbos, Shomor Tishmur. That's in Parshas Vaschanim. However, if you look in Parshas Ekev, you have the same words in Parshas Ekev. It says Kiim Shomor on page 3, 2 going over to 3. Kiim Shomor Tishmur and Kol HaMitzvah HaZos. So you have two psukim that have the same lashon. In Vayeschan it says Shomor Tishmur as Mitzvah Hashem Elokeichem, and in Ekev Kiim Shomor Tishmur as Kol HaMitzvah HaZos. So if you look in the Sifrei, the way it's explained by the parish of Sifrei Devei Rav by Rav David Pardo. Rav David Pardo, famous commentary on the Sifrei, on page 4, explains what is the redundancy, what is the necessity of two psukim both saying this phraseology of Shamor Tishmarun. So says the Sifrei, Kim Shamor Tishmarun is called Mitzvah Zos. Lama Nemar. Why do you need the second Shamor Tishmarun? You already had Shamor Tishmarun in Vayeschanan. Mefisha Nemar Tishmarun as Mitzvah Hashem Elokeichem. It says Tishmarun as Mitzvah Hashem Elokeichem. Magid HaKosov. Just like you make sure you don't lose your money, you sell it, you have a wallet, you don't let your money fall in the street. So too you have to make sure that your learning shouldn't be lost. And Rav Dovid Pardo explains in the bottom here that that's the two psukim. The first pasuk, you see, Shamor has two connotations. One, he quotes the pasuk in Vayeshev, Va'aviv Shomer Asadover. Shomer means what? To anticipate. To anticipate. Yaakov was anticipating when the dreams of Yosef would come true. And then Shamor means to watch, like Shmira, a Shomer. I have something, I don't want to lose it, so I do Shmira. So says Rav David Pardo, that's what the Chazal is saying. The first Shamor Tishmarun is the initial learning, is the initial anticipation of amassing new knowledge. That's the Shamor Tishmarun. The second Shamor Tishmarun is retaining the knowledge that one already procured, one already received. And that's what Chazal says, Rav David Pardo is explaining in the Sifrei. Why do you need the second Shamor Tishmarun? That is telling us the requirement that we should treat our learning like money. That just like we make sure that we shouldn't lose the Sela Shalo Tovad, Kach Ye Odom Tzarech Lizor B'Talmud Shalo Yovad. V'cheinu Omer Im Tivachshena Kakesef. That you have to seek out the Torah like silver, like money. Makesef kosher liknoso. It's like kesef is not so easy to get. Kach divrei Torah kosher liknoso. O makesef kosher la'abed. So you might think that kesef, you can't destroy kesef so easily. Silver you can't destroy so easily. Av divrei Torah kosher la'abdom. So I might think that Torah also you can't lose it so easily, just like kesef. No, Torah is difficult to acquire like kesef, but kesef is also difficult to lose, meaning to get destroyed. But Torah is different. Torah is also easy to lose. It's hard to get. It's easy to lose. Talmud Lomar lo yachen azov lizchukas kosher liknosim kizahav. Torah is difficult to acquire like gold, v'nochim la'abdam kichli zchuchis. But it's easy. You know, every once in a while, like a child will take a glass thing, he'll drop it. It's easy to break. So that's what Torah is. It's like kesev and zahav. It's hard to get, but it's easy to lose. You take a glass plate, someone drops it, gets well, smashes into little pieces. Tomorrow is a klipas. And that's what Chazal are telling us. The Torah, a special tzivoy, Shamor Tishmarun, to make sure that whatever we learned, we should what? We shouldn't lose it. And that's what Chazal tell us on page 5 in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, second line from the bottom. Rabbi Yeshua Mekocha Omer, Kol Halomei Torah Ve'enu Chozer Aleha. Somebody who learns Torah and he doesn't review it, Dome La'odim Shazorea Ve'enu Kotzer. It's like you plant, say you plant, and then a lot of produce grows, but you never harvest it. So you just left it there in the field. So it goes to pot. So if a person learns and doesn't review what he learned, it's like what? La'odim Shazorea, Shazorea Ve'enu Kotzer. And why do I say this now? I was inspired by the words of the Shalom HaKadosh on page 6. Shalom HaKadosh, one of the great, great people of our Mesorah, says on page 6, Tochachos Musar L'Chanukah. He says, what's the Musar for Chanukah? Yachshav She'ikro Niskan L'Halel U'Lehodos L'Hashem Yisborach. It's to praise God. We say Halal Shalem every day. Al ki ha'yivonim choshvu levatel Torah u'mitzvahs. That the Yivonim wanted to levatel Torah u'mitzvahs. Im kein ha'yomim ha'gdoshim ha'eilo ruum b'yoser la'asmodus Torah mibshar ha'yomim. That Chanukah is a time to be involved in Torah more than the rest of the year. Ki talmud Torah k'neged kulam. He says that Rov HaOlam, you know, they leave early, this, you know, Chanukah is, there's a lot of Bittul Torah going on. Oh, so then he says a beautiful idea. He says, Masher Raboseinu HaKadmonim. Apparently, there was an old minhag to give off from yeshiva on Chanukah. So how does that work with this idea that Chanukah is the time for learning Torah? So he says, "Masher Raboseinu Hakadmonu Pasku Yeshiva Bayomim Meim Osu V'Shvil HaNe'orim SheYachzeru V'Yachzeru Al Talmudah Mashalomdu." He says the whole point was to give an opportunity for people to review their learning. Because if you're always having shir, you're always going weiter, so you don't have time to sit back and review. So that was what it was given off for. SheYeshogur B'Fiim. Al kein hashomei yishma v'yisor b'yomim mehem b'yesetzeis b'toru v'mitzvahs. And it's interesting that I saw in this new sefer I bought, Kedushas Yimei Chanukah, he quotes from the Baba V'Rebbe, of Shlomo Halberstam, who quotes this Shalah, and then he says, a remez, the line that begins, Chaf Aleph, because what does the word mahadrin mean? Usually we use the word hider mitzvah. Lashon mahadrin lo nimtza b'shul mitzvah. But based on the shalah, we could say mahadrin, what does it mean? When do we use the word mahadrin? Hadran alach. How to see him. To return. To review. Mahadrin alach. Lashon chazara. And therefore, Yimei Chanukah, Huzman Sheyachzeru HaTalmidim Alimudim. So it's interesting, I saw this, I was very excited about this remez, and then I saw that the Bnei Yisoschar already said it. Look in the supplement. He says a beautiful idea on the third column. He says, the second arrow. Was other disciplines in life. You hear it once and you get it. Nitpas hadover besichlo. You get it in your mind. So you don't have to review it. You got it. Ein sorach lachzor alea kilo yosif omets ba. Meaning, you'll review it so you shouldn't forget it. But by Torah, the concept of review is not only so you shouldn't forget. That when it comes to learning, every time you review it, it's not only to you shouldn't forget, but every time you review it, you have a new insight, a new awe, a new understanding in Divrei Torah. And then on the fourth column, he writes, V'zeh she'tiknu b'ner mitzvah halazeh, ha'romuz l'torah yotzim b'ner yishu beiso. In other words, the real halacha is one candle for the whole family. Echad malik, one person lights for the whole family. He says, what does that represent? He says, many talmidim here, the same shir from a Rebbe, and they're all yotze. But what makes people different? The mahadrin, the review, ner l'chol echad. Hayinu k'shei mahadrin v'chozrim alim b'udam. Yitosef or l'chol echad b'fnei atzmo. That everyone who reviews it, while you're reviewing, everyone now will understand things differently and will have new insights, each one kefi his abilities. And that's the Mahadrin, as he writes here on the bottom. Mahadrin Loshan Chazorah. And that's what the Baba of the Rebbe said, the same thing. And that's why Chanukah is a time where we have to be mechazik in that Sifrei. Kishem, what does the Sifrei say? Kishem that a person, what? You have to make sure that your coin doesn't get lost. And just to conclude the pasuk in Mishlei, on the last page, he says, Yikorahi mipninim, the Torah is more precious than precious jewelry. V'chol chafatzecha lo yishvuba. And all the other chafatzim in the world can't compare to it. And explains the Vilna Gaon on the bottom. Because people in life need two things. Why? Derech ha'odim lirdof liklos dover machma shnei dvarim. Either machma shudover yokar, either something is very beautiful and expensive and precious, so people want it. Kugan avarim tovuz umargolios, zeluchvodo, or machma shudzorach lezemaod, or necessities. Bread, water, Tavua kadome. People need that also. So that's what it means. Yikorahi mipninim. Whereas within the category of jewelry and beautiful things that are of value, the Torah is the most important in that category. V'chol chafatzecha. And in the category of necessities, the Torah is the greatest in that category as well. And that's how the Vilna Gaon explains. There are two categories of things that people like to get. Things that are precious and things that are necessities. In each of those respective categories, the Torah is the primacy. And with this in mind, if you really believe it and really understand that, that just like if somebody gives you money, you're not going to lose it. You're going to put it in a place that it shouldn't get lost. You'll put it in the bank, something in an expensive thing, you'll put it in a spiritual place. So too the learning. Bez Hashem, now we're going to begin soon, our Chazara. That's the opportunity that we're going to have to be Kona the Torah. So it shouldn't be something that we just spend some time, but we want it to be part of us. That 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, we'll be able to say, oh, I learned that Reb Chaim, I learned that Pnei Yoshua, I learned that, and I could say it over. I know what we said. But that only comes by Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. Review and review and review and thinking about it and understanding it and that and not, as the B'nai Yisoscha says, not only to retain, but to even get a better understanding, a new or. Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, each person on his own gets a new or, a new insight, a new light. And Bez Hashem, we should all be Zoche Shomor Tishmurun. That not only, the both Shomer Tishmurun, the original learning, of the anticipation of the newness of the learning, and then Shomer Tishmarun to maintain what we learned as well. And that should be the chizik that we have from Chanukah and Bez Hashem. And then at the end of the year, at the end of the Zman, you feel good about yourself. Look, I'm fluent in this Indian, in this Rishon Shita. I can talk and learning. It's part of me. I'm excited about it. I have Divrei Torah. We have the packets that you have. You can go back and say, oh, here's the Rambam, I know exactly where it is, I saw it inside, I'm kona it. And then you feel good about yourself. Oh, look how much I've received from the beginning of the year till now. So Bez Hashem, we should all have
siyata d'shmaya, to do chazara, to enjoy our learning, and to realize the how precious it is. Yikorehi mipninim v'chol chafatzecha lo yishvu bo.
Amen.
Okay, we'll have another nigun, and then we'll have a rikud, then we'll clean up, and then we'll go down, and then we'll have shir. No, another nigun. And we would also like to thank the musicians, Rav Avram Levitt and all his chaverim, Sam Taylor, etc., and all the Uriel, and all the Yashin Albert, and all the beautiful music. And we thank everyone. And we'll have another niggin, a rikud, and we'll clean up and we'll go down.
Thank you.
Gershon. Where's Gershon?
You put online?
Yeah,
Gershon. You'll see where they fall.